Word in Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, the subject of this men's fellowship is an area of life that affects everyone, especially the men of the species. I don't care if you're 10 or 110. This affects you in some way. We are bombarded throughout our day with advertisements on TV and billboards throughout the street that are marketing products. And it seems like, for the most part, they have a woman marketing the product, scantily clad. And on TV, the same thing. They're marketing a product. So they don't have a 98-year-old woman marketing the product. They'll have someone young and attractive to the eyes. Now, the Bible speaks about dealing with these things because there are some things in life that will cause you to get derailed from God's way and get off of the right track and will cause you to sin. Minister Jody, we're just opening up. You want to add anything to what I've just shared?
Yes, sir. What we're talking about is stuff that is not, it's not disappealing, let's say, if there is such a thing. It's not something that does not appeal to you. It does not, it is not something that does not appeal to your flesh. Absolutely it appeals. That's why they use the people that they do to advertise it. So what we have to do is guard against what we see, guard against what we hear, and certainly guard against what we allow into our hearts.
Hallelujah. That is so correct. Now, temptation is real. The Bible says yield not to temptation. Now, the Bible also says there's a place for everything and everything in its place. There is a place for sex. God created sex. He created the man and the woman. He not only created them, he married them. He performed the first marriage ceremony. And he said in his word that, hallelujah, the marriage bed is undefiled. That means you married, and I'm talking about married to each other, the man and the woman, hallelujah, you okay. God condones your marriage and being intimate. Outside of marriage, they have several words for it, called adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, sin. You're going to be tempted. You say, well, I ain't going to be tempted. If you are a male of the species, you are going to be tempted. Because God made you to respond to a beautiful woman when Eve was created, the first thing that Adam said out of his mouth was, "Whoa, man!" He was looking good. "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Whoa, man. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. But outside of marriage, it's called illicit sex, illicit relationships. God doesn't condone that. He doesn't even want to bless that. He will bless you as best as he can, but there's no blessing in sinning. Minister Jerry has some scriptures I know that he sees and we can go through. But before he gets there, every man of the species, I know that a lot of men, in fact, I had a young man tell me that he wanted to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that's a good desire. I share with him. Start with Proverbs. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs. Read a chapter every night. Start with Proverbs. Because it's directed initially to the man of the species. We need to watch out. And then you can skip over to Mark and read that because it's got a lot of action in it. I know men like a lot of action. But anyway.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Would you expound a little more on, and this is a word that you've used several times so far into the broadcast, that sin, what is sin? What does God mean when you say he does not condone sin? What is sin?
Sin is transgression against God's law and his way. And even in the Ten Commandments, it talks about you don't commit adultery. I think it's in there. Is that in there?
Yes.
I shall not commit adultery. I think it's in there. And I shall not, glory to God. Sin is doing something that God frowns upon. Doing something that's not good in God's eyesight. That's sin. And you are prone to sin in the flesh because it's right there. You know, after you get a certain age, men, you know you male. You know, glory to God. You know you're male. And then after a certain age, you'd be looking at the girls, and you'd be looking at, sometimes you'd be looking at older women because they're looking good too. And you wonder what that's all about. Let me just share something with you. It's part of God's plan for you to get excited when you see a beautiful woman. When you see your wife, you get excited. That's why we are here. If somebody didn't get excited, we wouldn't be here. I know that when we were born, well, at least I was born, they didn't have no test tube babies, in vitro and fertilization, all that kind of stuff. Not when I was born, back in the 40s. So somebody got excited, y'all. And that's a God quality he put in you, but he wanted you to control that, because every woman you see is not your woman. Hello?
Yes, sir.
People go and brag sometimes. Yeah, I got 35 children by 7 women. That don't make you a man. Animals do the same thing. They procreate and have a whole lot of kids. That doesn't make you a man. What makes you a man is that you decide, I want this woman, and I have control over myself, so I will keep myself holy to this woman. and you do that. That's a man. He can deny himself. Because, I mean, they looking good sometimes. And it's like flowers. You got some flowers that look good. You would be lying to yourself and to others. If a woman walks down the street and she's beautiful, like J-Lo or somebody like that, and she's beautiful, and you say, oh, she ain't attractive. Now, you could say she's not attracted for me. But a flower is a flower is a flower. You go in the garden, you see a beautiful flower. That doesn't mean you go pick it. That says, oh, it's a beautiful flower. Uh-huh. We got some scriptures because we just filibustered until we get to the word. Because, see, we stand on the word of God. Because, see, it's not my opinion. My opinion of 50 Cent won't even buy a bag of potato chips or a cup of coffee or even a soda. Minister, Sarah, you got a scripture down there?
Yes, I do.
Can you give me one of those scriptures?
The first one that I have is Romans 13:14, and it reads, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That is Romans 13:14.
Y'all need to write it down. Keep yourself under control. You say, it's hard to do that. That's why you can go to Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You need the Holy Ghost, y'all. You say, what's the Holy Ghost? Oh, you need to be saved. You go to John 3:3. You must be born again. Then you go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. So when you're born again, you're a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Hallelujah. You go to Romans 12:2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to be in the will full of God, not the will of yourself or your flesh. Because your flesh is at war with the spirit and the spirit with the flesh. So you got to control that bad boy or your flesh will take you under. Your flesh desires to take you back to the dust from which it came. Hallelujah. You have any comments on that scripture or you want to be in another
flesh, your flesh, you're absolutely right about that, Bishop. Your flesh, it is the job of your flesh to end your purpose before it's time. But it is your job to get the flesh under control and tell the flesh, oh, no, you're not going to end my purpose. God will sit here with a job to do. And like Paul said, I have finished the course. And when you finish the course, then you can say, I am now ready to be taken up. Do not be run off the earth prematurely.
All right. You got
and
another
flesh,
scripture. Because we got some folks that still don't believe what God said in his word. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That is the job of the flesh. The job of the flesh is to get you not to fulfill the purpose for which you were sent here to do. Now, things can happen. Things can happen between the time we are sent here and the time that we find out what our purpose is. Many times, we get distracted. Once we get here, we get distracted with we get involved with all of the trinkets and all of the things. May it be money, may it be women, may it be whoever or whatever it is, all the things. We can get distracted with that stuff, and that stuff can take us off the lighted path, off the litten path, off of the path that God has set for us. He says, I have a lamp to your feet and a light to your pathway. Walk therein. And if you do that, you'll stay in his purpose. And when you stay in his purpose, you will fulfill the will that you were sent here to do. But when you get astray from that path, the lighted path, when you get astray from that, then you are, as it says in the Psalm, every sheep has gone his own way. Now your flesh has taken you in a different direction.
You know,
and it's up to you to get back on the path and fulfill the purpose. Many people have come and gone, and when I say come and gone, I mean they were born, sent here, and got distracted and never found out, didn't even remember what their purpose was. And then they were taken off the scene, run off of the earth prematurely, and their purpose was never fulfilled. Many people have come and said, I don't know what my purpose is. What am I supposed to do? What am I doing? You've heard that before. What am I doing here? They stumble around until they find the purpose lots of times. Sometimes they never do. But then there are people who come in and they say, oh, I am a lawyer or I am a doctor, and that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to pursue that path, and that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm going to be. They don't know that that is the seed that was planted in them while they sit here, but they know that that desire is in their heart. And
Minister, it is important for y'all to understand that you were sent here more than procreate, more than to have sex.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the world says, you know, the gold, the glory of the gals. The gold, the glory of the gals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the temptation that the world offers you. Now, God offers you glory. He offers you eternal life. He offers you not to just have a blessing, because God reigns on the just and unjust. He offers you to be the blessing, to be the fulfillment center by which others are blessed. He puts you here to be a great ambassador for him. And so you got to tighten yourself. You can't do it without God. Number one, you got to be born again. Number two, you got to understand that you're going to change the way you operate. Now, we have made some mistakes in the past. That's the past. Ask God, Lord, forgive me. Make me a new creature, a new creation. And then God puts you into 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are a new creation. All things are passed away. Even your sins are the past of God. Hallelujah. We need to get some more scriptures, because folks need to read some scriptures. In fact, I tell you what, give the address, all those addresses that you have there, and so that people can write them down, and then hopefully we'll get to them, have time to get to all of them.
All right, let's go back to the first one. This is Romans 13:14. Chapter 5, verse 28. James, first chapter, 14th and 15th verse. 2 Timothy, second chapter, 22nd verse. Corinthians, 6th chapter, 18th verse. And 1 Peter, 1st chapter, 11th verse.
Go to that second scripture that we have on your page.
Matthew 5:28.
Yeah, what does that say?
Matthew 5:28 reads, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart."
In his heart. See, where does sin start? It starts in the heart. Wow. That's why, Minister, you told me about, you got to guard your gates, your eye gates, your ear gates.
Yes.
And that's your senses.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you got to put a gate. You got to put a governor, something on them.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, because that was included in my prayer every morning before I went to work. God, guard my mouth. When you're working among folk, you not only have to guard your heart, but you have to guard and put a gate over your mouth.
Your mouth, your eyes, yeah. Your ears, all that. You got to cover yourself.
What does the scripture say? The tongue is a little member.
James.
But it can mess you up.
It can scare you. Y'all men, young boys, y'all read Proverbs. I'm serious. Maybe you started reading Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, you started there, but skip over them. Stop reading that. Go read 31, Proverbs, and start with the first chapter, and just every day read a chapter until after the end of a month, you don't read it all, or a month and a day, you don't read it all. But here's another scripture. Give that third scripture. Because we want you to hear these scriptures from the word. Because our opinion, we didn't write this, so don't blame us. Don't get on us because we said this. Jesus, the word of God said it before we got here. Go ahead, read another one.
James, first chapter, 14th and 15th verse. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And enticed. 14 and 15. Then, when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Sin gonna kill you. A lot of people, because disease? Sexual disease was sweeping away, and they didn't have any cures for it. It was sweeping away because, I mean, the woman looked good.
HIV?
She had the disease.
Yeah.
You got it? And the next thing you know, we're going to that funeral.
Yeah.
Sex out of wedlock is like hemlock. Do you know what hemlock is? Minister Jerry?
Oh, yes, sir.
Do you know what hemlock is?
It's a poison, yes.
That's right. Sex outside of wedlock is hemlock.
Hemlock, yes.
It's poison.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got to know this. You got to give me another scripture because time's flying.
All right. Let me see. What is it? Second Timothy.
This is a good one.
Second Timothy, chapter 2, verse 22.
Go ahead and read
it. Chapter 2, verse 22. That's it. Here it is. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Flee. Do you know what flee means? To run in terror. Run in terror. The youthful, your young folk, you're not married yet. You're seeing a beautiful woman. Went down to the beach, and folk supposed to have bathing suits on. They got shoestrings on. Lord have mercy. Somebody need to say, Lord have mercy.
and
you will have a bodily reaction. Because you's a male, you get excited when you see a beautiful woman and you see nudity. But you got to control that. You got to put it under control. Because if you don't control it, we'll be visiting you every Wednesday and putting some money on your book. Because we'll be visiting you in jail if you don't control it. Or they'll be coming after you for child support. Come on now. Some folk, I don't know. I think he disappeared. He joined the Witness Protection Service. That's the guy that had 35 children. How in the world? I don't know if a billionaire can take care of 35 children. Or maybe they can. Maybe a billionaire can. I don't know.
One thing for sure, you're not looking for any tax return. That's for sure.
Give me another scripture, y'all. Flee, again, means to run in terror. Some little girls, look, you go on a college campus, boy, I'm going to tell you, Lord have mercy. Look like they done, they came out of a factory, all of them. They look good, and they ain't got much clothes on them. Even sometimes in the wintertime, you say, why they ain't got clothes on? It's cold out here. They like the flower. They tried to attract some bees. And then when they get stung, they start hollering because now they got a baby. Let me stop. Go ahead. Give me another scripture.
1 Corinthians 6:18. And it reads, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body.
Let me share something with you, young men, old men, and everybody in between. When you have relationship with a woman outside of wedlock, because see, God sanctifies marriage. But you're outside of wedlock. Guess what? You're having relationship with every person that woman ever slept with through the years. And you don't even know if she was a soiled dove. You know what a soiled dove is, Minister Jerry?
No, I never heard that.
That's a prostitute. She may have been a prostitute. And she had 10 or 15 different men a day. And she only did it for 1 year. Well, you multiply 10 times 365 days. That's how, and you, when you go to bed with her, you done gone to bed with all those people. And every demon, illness, every kind of stuff that they had, guess what? You got it now, y'all. And you wake up and you wonder why you got some lumps. Now, where did this come from? You got these bumps. Where did that come from? Sin has consequences. Yes, it felt good. Look, there are a lot of sins that feel good. I'm going to tell you, it's important for you to understand. Sin will take you straight to hell. Well, let me back up. Rejecting the forgiveness of Jesus Christ will take you to hell. God loves you. You have made mistakes. Okay. You have a baby out of wedlock. You may have had 10 babies out of wedlock. But God can make you a new creature. I don't care. And then he'll give you resources to take care of every last one of them. Because every child that's created is a miracle of God. But you weren't here to be a loose man. We talk about loose women all the time. We never talk about a loose man.
All the time. I'm glad you brought that up, Bishop. Yeah.
You're a loose man. You're trying to count how many women you can sleep with. You look at pornography. Pornography is a gateway to bondage. Don't involve yourself in pornography, any pornographic pictures. Don't you dare send a picture to your girlfriend. That's sin. On the internet, because it's going to be all over the internet, on Facebook. People will take that picture and will make copies of it and sell them. Come on now. Are you outside of your mind? Minister Jerry, you wanted to say something.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to clarify. Would you help me understand how it is that if I sleep with this one person, this one lovely person, how I've slept with everybody else that she's ever slept
everyone,
with?
Everyone. Every demon, every foul spirit, everything that these other folks had, it's an intimate relationship. Two become one. You were one with that woman.
Power off.
She was one with 500 other men. Now you're one with her and 500 other men. And then you wonder why you can't sleep at night. You wonder why you have all these crazy dreams. You wonder why you're sick and you don't know what happened. One of those 500 men had something that they haven't even put a name on it yet, but you got it. You got it too. Playing Russian roulette with your life and you think it's fun. And you get with your buddies and you brag about it. Then you have to go to the doctor and bend over and hope that clears. Y'all, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some folk have gone crazy because they died of syphilis. Because they still don't know how to cure that. They can treat symptoms. But as far as I know, I may be incorrect, but they don't know the cure to that because it's of the devil. Oh, good shit, God. You playing Russian roulette with your life. And you playing Russian roulette with your future wife. And I'm just messing around. You know, I want a virgin when I get married. She want a virgin too. Well, I don't want no loose women. Women don't want no loose man. Hallelujah. You can't stand unless you have Holy Ghost power, y'all. You can't make it. You can't stand. You can't wear off that temptation without the Holy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You better call somebody. You better run to somebody's church after this here. Oh, shut up, honey. After this here. Men's fellowship and get somebody to lay hands on you and tell you to receive the Holy Spirit. It's a gift, but you got to receive it. You got to be born again in order to get that gift. And then you got the power. And then you can walk, I got the power. You can walk through a line of naked women and keep on stepping and not look back. You say, how you do that? I would tell you, I've done that, hallelujah. But it took the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. Whoa, Shakada. Can I be transparent? It took the Holy Ghost to ignore stuff. You can't do it in the power of your flesh. Because your flesh, you know what your flesh is saying? Yippee, yippee, yippee. Then you got a lot of crazy people that say, well, look here. I'm going to go and do something real dirty, and if I die doing it, I'm going to get 72 virgins. The only problem is they didn't know whether they were men or women. Look, and that's a fallacy. That's a fallacy. The bottom line. You better control yourself on this side of the dirt. You better get the Holy Ghost on this side of the dirt. You better get the power on this side of the dirt so you can tell pornography where to go. He can jump in the pit with the devil. You can tell that loose woman that say, come on, my husband out of town. He'll be out of town for 3 days. So you can come over and stay for 2 days. Come on. and she'll tap you. She'll show a leg. She might even show. Look, we got. Look, I tell her like it is. Can I tell her like it is, Brother Darren?
Yes, sir. Without being.
I know. They'll show you parts of their body and say, "Come on up here. You better read Proverbs, y'all. Read Proverbs, because those women will suck you in there, and they say, you know, you die." I know a family right now lost a brother. He's in a man's house having sex with his wife, the man's wife, and he came home, found him, and shot him. I mean, in the flesh, somebody say he should have shot the wife too, but he shot the guy. And the family had to do without their brother. Died prematurely. Did not fulfill his destiny in Christ. You got a destiny in Christ. Every man, boy, listen to this. You got a destiny in Christ. You got a purpose.
Yeah.
You got giftings. He put greatness in you. Don't you mess up your greatness. Don't you mess up your destiny in God because of the flesh.
That's right.
The flesh going to take you down and destroy you. The thief cometh up for to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." You can't have more abundant life if you're yielding to your flesh. Do we have another scripture?
No, sir. That was it.
Well, we'll share, Katie, today. Flee, you pull up. That's run in terror, y'all. If you got some consequences of your misdeeds already, take care of your responsibility. Your baby, take care of your baby or babies.
That's right. It's not too late.
But but repent. Turn away. Don't you continue to be in sin. You may die in your sin. Like that boy died, trying to get out of the house because the husband came over. He didn't make it. Died. I don't know if he had time to repent while his life was bleeding out. But you got an opportunity. You got today. Today is the first night of the rest of your life. I got to ask you a question, and I'm going to close because we're over time. What are you going to do with the life you have left? I don't care if you're 5 or 50. What are you going to do with the life you have left? Are you going to live it for Jesus, or are you going to live it in the flesh? It's your choice. Minister Jerry, last words from you.
Bishop, what you said is right on target. Yes, sir. Let's guard men, women, but this is a men's fellowship. Guard your heart.
Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for what our ears have heard, our hearts have felt. Have your way, Lord. Let signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings follow the word that came forth in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Have a great day, everybody.
Bluetooth.
See you next month for the men's fellowship.
Bluetooth.
Stand to for the women's fellowship.
Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life. The mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship our true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ, and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears your heart's cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you are weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty men of valor.
You just heard the Men's Fellowship of the Potter's House, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. Stay tuned for the Women's Fellowship in 5 minutes. Hallelujah.
God's woman, that's what I want to be. His woman, forever world to see. Him living inside of me, joyfully. Not following the crowd. His woman, that's not what life's about. Once he extends his hand, reveals his plan, and I know.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have tuned into the Women's Fellowship of the Potter's House, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. Hallelujah. And this is Pastor Peters, your host. And we have Pastor Maxine Lee. And Elder K.B. Stevenson.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. We just thank God for giving us another opportunity to come and to encourage the women of God everywhere. Hallelujah. And tonight, we want to talk to the women about taking care of themselves. It is so important. It is so important. One time hearing somebody going to sleep behind a wheel is one too many. One person saying, hearing someone saying, I'm asleep behind a wheel, or I've done this, or I'm exhausted, I'm this and that. The commercial, the cat, the dog, the doorbell, the children, can't go and take me away. Hey. I think we have all been there, and it seemed like so much lately. Oh my goodness, we have to wear the women of God. We have to wear so many hats, and we'll be trying to balance so many hats. And good Lord. Sometimes you just want to put your finger up, just like you do in church, and tip out. But we can't tip out on life. We can't tip out on life. Hallelujah. But we thank God for having a Savior that renews, regenerates.
Yes,
hallelujah. Gives us strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. We want to talk about. And I have some ideas for relaxation for women, hallelujah. And I want to share these, and then Elder K.B. Stevenson is going to share, and then Mother's going to share from her heart, hallelujah. And I mean, this is something I do not hear being preached from the pulpit. I'm serious. I hear more so, you know, they're looking for you to be in church every time the church doors open. If there's a spring conference, a convocation, meeting here, a meeting there, even if it's, and the meetings can be back-to-back and back-to-back, and this person coming into town, and now church is expected to go over there, and this is it. But you know what? Sometimes I think you really have to ask her, okay, Lord, this is, Lord, I have attended the last two meetings, and Lord, and this is a night where I usually minister to my husband, or we minister to each other, and Lord, I've been going and going and going. Lord, is it your will Lord, is it for me to go out tonight? Is it for me to go out tonight? Or am I, and the family comes first. The family comes first. I used to even tell my coworkers. They said something has come up at home, Miss Willie, and I said family comes first. Go home, take care of your family. Take care of them. This job going to be here. But you know what? This church building going to be here. Go home, take care of the husband. Your husband has been away, been out of town, been on the road, and you ain't seen him in a couple days. He coming in the door, and you got in your church hand. You going to Sunday, go to meeting? Oh, no, uh-uh. No. You just stay home and take care of your husband. Take off the hat and whatever anything else the husband wants to take off, and minister to your husband. Hallelujah! And God will—that is something that God will bless. The men of God. And I said it before: the men of God should not be looking anywhere else to be satisfied, to be pleased, or whatever. Women of God, take care home. Take care home first. And I had some ideas for relaxation for women. And then 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary, the Holy Spirit who lives within you? whom you have received as a gift from God, you are not your own. You are bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for, made his own. So then honor God and bring glory to him in your body. Hallelujah. And there's a scripture in Leviticus 19 that talks about balance. And a lot of times, even we don't talk about balance. A lot of times there is no balance. It's all church. It's all Jesus. Every day of the week, we're full-time ministry, and if we aren't doing something concerning church, I'm not saying for the Lord, concerning the Lord, doing something for church, we feel as if we in trouble with Jesus, and we fall into condemnation. Condemnation is not of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Leviticus 19 and 30 says, wait a minute, this does not look right. Balance. 19, Leviticus 19, 30. I mean, you said 7, I am the Lord. Nope, I had a scripture on balance, and maybe it's 9:30. But other things that I was wanted to mention, sometimes you may need to get a pedicure, a manicure, a day trip on the road, a girl's trip, just a shot, or to go to a restaurant out of town, go to a restaurant on the water. Last week, we went to Rusty's Scuffle, and that's downtown. We had a table, a table right at the water. And then when nightfall came, the water, the lights on the harbor were lit. The lights on the boat were lit. Oh, and it was just such a beautiful scenery.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you just marvel at the beauty of God. Hallelujah. Take a girls' picnic. Take a picnic with your friends, or even by yourself. It ain't no shame in going out somewhere by yourself. Hallelujah. You love yourself. One of my daughters said, "Mama, Jesus takes me out on my date on my date night, and he pays for it." And you know, and she has herself a good time. Pack a lunch and go on the MARC train. And when the MARC train from here goes to D.C., it goes right where it stops. It's a shopping mall. You can go there and have lunch. There are lots of eateries, shop, get back on the MARC train, and come on back. You feel so refreshed.
Amen.
You feel something, and you won't get bored all the sights you see, believe me. Or you go over someone's house and watch a movie. Go over another sister's house and watch a movie. Or go to the movies by yourself. Buy your own popcorn, buy your own gummy bears, your own gummy worms, and sit there and enjoy the movie. By yourself,
amen.
You ain't got to worry about the children saying, "Ma, I got to go pee. Ma, I got to go pay for him." Or you ain't got to worry about nobody pulling on you. Oh, my goodness. It is fun. Hallelujah. You go to the aquarium. So I don't know if the aquarium still have the dollar days, but going to the aquarium downtown or to the site or to the science center, just a sightsee.
That's right.
Just a sightsee. I remember when our sister Tina had her shop up Hartford Road, and I think Thursday evenings was, or even Saturday mornings, whatever the day was, when I would go, my husband knew not to call me when at the hair shop. That was my time. When I'm getting my hair shampooed, and she have her hands in massaging my scalp, I don't want to hear no phone ringing.
That's right.
I don't want nobody call me. If the house on fire, what am I going to do? I'm not dressed up like a fireman. I ain't no fireman. Call 911.
That's right.
And thank God, we have to know every phone call, every emergency phone call we get. It's just because it's an emergency of somebody else doesn't mean it's our emergency.
Thank you. That's right.
But we are so cheap. They know we love Jesus, and we're going to hop to it. We're going to jump to the call. You know what? Sometimes, darling, I'm busy. I'm busy right now. I'm not able to come. You know what? You may hear silence on the other end for a minute, but they'll get over it.
They certainly will.
They will get over it. And then they'll know next time, oh, well, I better look at the phone before I call mom. What time is it? Mom and daddy busy. Mama just may not come. And that'll even guide them. Well, I better have a backup plan. Yeah, baby, you better have a backup plan. Yes?
That's right.
Proverbs 11:1 says, a false balance is abomination unto God. I'm going to turn to Proverbs. I'm marking in my Proverbs 11:1. I'm reading in the Amplified. It says, a false balance and unrighteous dealings are extremely offensive and shamefully sinful to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. God even wants us to have balance.
Yes, he does.
He wants us to have balance. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we can have do so much church stuff. And I'm not saying godly stuff. I'm saying church stuff. Because every church activity may not be a godly activity. Every time the church doors open and you have a family, you have children, you have a husband, your butt ain't supposed to be in there. You ain't supposed to be in church every time the church doors open.
That's right.
None of your, not because family, that how your family, church, that from my first ministry, we not saying block God out. We know that's a given. My first ministry is my husband. When you are married, that's your first. You ain't supposed to be in the church, and the praise and worship, and every time the doors open, if you got. You got family at home you got need to be taken care of or whatever, you know, and God knows it, and God will honor when things are in the right order, when things are in the right order. When you mention to your family, so what do you, if you think the pastor going to pull you up, whatever, well, then you have to leave that between the pastor and the Lord, okay, because your first ministry is your family. Your first ministry is your husband. Hallelujah. One person said, if that what y'all are doing is salvation, I don't want no part of it. No husband's supposed to be riding downtown in the red light district waiting for somebody to come up to his window. No. And we ain't supposed, and the wives shouldn't be so sanctified that the husbands can't talk to them, or y'all can't come to an agreement about some new things.
Yes.
But the women, we wear so many hats, and we put ourselves on the back burner so much that we end up getting burnt out. We end up getting burnt out. And how can you praise God? How can you worship the Lord? You too tired in church to stand. The other people are looking at you, and you look like you've been baptized on pickle juice, and all, and you can't give somebody right now word because you're too tired to get a right now word, because you all done worded out. And we really do need to sit down. We really need to think about, even if you may not have all the money or the finances you may have for a road trip, but your sister may have enough gas money. You may have you may have the wherewithal to pack the lunch. Somebody else got the gas money, and say, hey, let's. That's right, for real. Get together. Say, hey, you know what? I'm kind of low on finances, but my freezer soon enough full, girl. Say, hey, hit the road. Nobody have to know. Hey, I believe you should always let somebody know. When you know, where you're going or something like that, because I taught my girls that, you know, whenever you go out of town, let, you know, and it's not that mama being nosy, but always let somebody know where you're going, and just, hey, just call somebody and say, hey, I'm taking a day trip with sister so-and-so, and we're going such and such place, and we'll be back probably around by 4 or 5 o'clock, okay? And that's it, or whatever. And you know what, thanks to God, sometimes, and you know what, and it's not a sin to mute your phone, to turn your phone off. It is not a sin to turn your phone off. When I had babies, when my kids were little, and when they were out of the house, I never did it. I never turned off my phone because I never know what's going to come up. or whatever. Right. But, you know, everybody in the house, everybody fine. You need some rest. And everybody good. You know what? God will understand because you need some rest. You need some rest. How can you worship him in a time broken down by? How much glory does that bring to the Lord? I'm straight. How much glory does that bring to him? Because then after we've broken down, there is, oh, Jesus, Lord, I need a little bit more Jesus. You know, if you took care of your body in the beginning, you knew you wouldn't be saying that. You know what? And I thank God for my husband. And some weeks ago, I don't know how, and maybe a couple months now, and I appreciate it. He said, honey, take out one day out of the week and don't do anything. He said, take that day for yourself. And say to God, you know what? Oh, I feel so good when I on that day. I don't give him dinner. he knows not to ask me for dinner. He has food to eat. He can take care of himself. But you know what? I feel so good. Footloose, fancy free. If I want to go over one of the children, the grandkids' house and take them out to dinner, or take them out and spend some, that's something I want to do. I'm sure that if I want to ride all the way up Harper Road and then come down a Bel Air Road, I mean, just to see the sights, it's just like, wow, oh, my goodness. I remember when I used to go to Sister Tina's to get my hair done. When I came back home, I loved my husband a little bit more because it was no pressure. That was me. I was came home. My hair was done. I was looking good, and I felt good, and I felt renewed, yes. I felt renewed, refreshed. I felt good. And because when I was there, get my head done, we would talk about the Lord. We would talk about the services. We would talk about the scripture. Minister to the other people that was in the hairdresser. It was, yes. And it was like, wow. And you laughed and you giggled. And you know, it was just a beautiful time in the Lord. It was a time of refreshing.
Yes.
It was a time of refreshing. Yes, and God is just so good. And maybe the women of God, the ones that want to get away or whatever, maybe the women of God can make a pact with each other, help each other out. Hey, if one has a responsibility on a day, but they know that that's a day, I'm feeling burnt out. But Sister So-and-so need me to do this. Can you handle this for me? I've got to get away before I crack up. And just helping each other out. Helping each other out. If somebody, one person needs a couple of dollars, and somebody got a couple of dollars to spare, we should be able to say, hey, I need a couple of dollars. I need to go buy a ticket for an airplane. sometimes we feel as if we would, I guess, shame the Lord if we say out of our mouths, I can't take it no more. I need some help. We're human. We are human. We should not feel ashamed to go up to another sister and say, hey, I feel like I'm about to crack. I'm about to break. And if there's enough of us around that it's only us in our house or got a spare room, say, hey, come over, go in the spare room. Anybody got to know you there? And just go in there and watch TV. Go in there, take your shoes off. Go in there, sit in the recliner, watch TV. Ain't nobody going to bother you. And we should be, but I think we have to be geared mentally or told that we can do that and that it's all right to do that.
Okay to do it.
Yes, because we are so geared to, you're the woman of the house and you're the grandmother, you're the daughter, you're the sister. You're the pastor's wife, or you're the elder's wife. You're the this, you're that, and you are expected to do this.
Yes.
You are expected. It's expected of you, you know. But let's just change people's minds, y'all. Let's do things the way God will want us to do them. Hallelujah. Yes. Go ahead, Sister Keeley. I'm just going. I've seen so much for so long. And I guess that's why I'm just filled up. And I don't want the women of God to crack up and burn out. and all. And I told you, I told one pastor, I said, I would love to have a house for women in ministry. And he told me something so shocking. He said, and Sister Willie, you would be surprised of the women that would be there.
That's right.
I was like,
amen.
What?
Amen.
He said, you would be surprised of the women that would be there. So women of God, let's start helping each other out. Let's start
amen.
Just complimenting, doing, and giving, and just being there for each other.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kibi. I'm sorry.
Mr. Peters, you hit on so many different areas that are so true. And when you love the Lord and you love people and people know that, unfortunately, they will use that against you.
Mm.
They will use that against you.
Mm.
I had a wake-up call when I was in my daughter's house when the twins were little. I was just being grandma, so excited and what have you. No matter what I was doing, I would go by and see the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to look up on her calendar. She and her husband had penciled in grandma every Friday.
Oh.
That was my wake-up call. I said, oh, no, it's a new sheriff in town.
Get out of
here. I can't do that. But it was a wake-up call because I realized I was so dependable for them.
Oh.
They took a date night out on my dime. But
yeah.
I'm just coming by to see them. I said, oh, no, we're not going to work. We're not going to go that way.
Oh.
But the one thing I had to learn to do.
Oh, my goodness.
Is give myself permission to say no.
That's right. And not feel guilty, honey. That's right.
I had to give myself permission to say no. I made a joke out of it. I said, I've learned one word, everybody. So what do you mean? I said, no. No, you can't have my car. No, you can't have my money. And no,
thank
I ain't babysitting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. You're not going to babysit? I said, no, I said that, but sometimes I did, especially if they called me on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, they knew that they couldn't just ring grandma up on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn, but because of that, I learned self-care and self-love.
Yeah.
And I was important. Because if I was out of commission and no good to myself, I felt you could leave me good too.
Right, right.
And the Lord has to put me down and say, you're valuable.
Yes.
You're valuable to me first.
Mm.
You can be none of these things if you don't have peace of mind, if you're not stable, if you're not on guard of Satan. Because when we're tired and out of sorts, that's the best way for Satan to keep us from
anything
that we're trying to do.
Yes.
Because we're out of order.
Yes.
We cannot make quality decisions because we're on the earth.
Amen.
She went down.
Cast your burden upon the Lord and leave it there.
Amen.
You gotta learn how to do that one day at a time, and it starts with the way you think.
Yes.
What are you thinking about yourself?
Mm.
The Bible even says that those who keep their mind on Him, He will give you perfect peace.
Yes.
That means a lot of times we really have to slow our roll in a lot of areas and put ourselves not on the back burner. That is number one. Your car cannot drive anywhere if it doesn't have gas.
Amen.
You've got to make sure that you have gas naturally, spiritually, and financially because you are important. Charity begins at home.
Mm-hmm.
You love all these people. You love the things that you do, but not so much of it. Put it on a diet. Not a whole lot of this, a whole lot of that, a whole lot of the other.
Mm-hmm.
But what you want to do, you pick and choose. You can write everything down that you would like to do, and you prioritize it. What's important, what's not. And every time the phone rings, I've seen people jump into whatever they're doing. I don't do that. I wait until it stops ringing. Then I go and see whether I want to call them back or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't let them think I'm a yes person all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because God doesn't want us to do that.
Right.
He is the yes person. I'm not taking God's job.
Right.
I'm just here on earth. And He wants me to keep myself.
Right now,
and then you get off the phone. That means you are not involved physically, mm-hmm. but you were doing anything but other than taking it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, they will know I can't get them covered with basically. They're gonna tell me, I'm gonna go to the Lord, see what the Lord says about it. But it shows them that how you treat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that comes to me, I'm taking it to God.
Yes.
Because I value his opinion about me. Sometimes the Lord has to save us from our own self. Because
mm-hmm.
we are yes people. Sometimes we have to retract that and go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. We have to repent before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are taking over his job.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want that. Stay in your lane.
Yes.
Whether it's wifey, whether it's mommy, whether it's sister, or whether it's just for you. But take time. Don't be a yes person all the time. Take a deep breath. Give yourself time to think.
Mm.
But the Bible even tells us to consider a matter before we involve ourselves.
Mm.
It seems like when we involve our family and friends, we throw caution to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And we just act on it. God doesn't want us to do that. Nothing should be jerking us around to that degree that we can't even think. But when you say, oh, is that right? Consider the whole matter before you say anything. And while you're there talking, be praying that, Lord, what part of this do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to sit down and have you stand up? Do you want me to say a few words? Do you want me to pray? Or do you want me to say, well, I can do X, Y, Z for you, but I can't do it right now. Let me get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't let them walk away thinking, oh, I can call her any old time. I can always push their buttons. No, no, no. There's caution in the wind
mm-hmm.
here because I treat myself in a gentle way and in a manner that I can stay functional with a clear head. Because when I'm tired or out of sorts, I don't make good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even make sense. And I think about it later. I thought, well, why did I do that? It's because I didn't take a deep breath and say, Lord, what should I do about this? And it doesn't have to be sinful, and you don't have to feel guilty.
Amen.
But you do have to make yourself,
yes.
your gift, and your anointing a priority.
Yes.
You make people respect you.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times you're just going to have to do a shutdown to the whole world, like you said. Pull in, pull up. It means no phone, no activity. Just be quiet before the Lord. Go read, like this show. Go window shopping at the store you can't afford. Just to go window shopping so you can dream. You are due time to yourself to even dream.
Mm-hmm.
To have pleasant thoughts on your own. That may be a time that you want to sit down and write poetry or write in your journal. Maybe a time that you want to call somebody to say, hi, I just called to see how you were doing. And I dare you to go out in nature.
Mm.
Just go where water is. Go where the grass is, where flowers are.
Mm-hmm.
Walk different neighborhoods or places
mm-hmm.
or sit in a park that's just pleasant because you want on purpose to put your mind in a different place
mm.
to refresh yourself because you're worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word of God says, also I have, is it, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Because when we look at things, we have a way of thinking because we're fleshly. When we go to God, we say, Lord, how should I think about this. You want him in on it. And God will not turn your way when you ask him for anything. You have not because you ask not. Even down to, I even asked the Lord. I'm real personal with him. I said, Lord, you want female, pink, female, positive, or red? Which one you want? And that's the one I'll go with and let him know. I'm not so big and bold that I just know about everything. No.
Mm-hmm.
I want to consider. There's time I'll be laying in the bed. He'll tell me what to put on that day. He'll tell me what to arrange my schedule for that day.
Praise
because
God.
I'm quiet beforehand.
Yes.
It's so important that you for God to be quiet because he's always talking, but we're not always listening. And because we are human beings and we live in this world, there's so many things pulling at us. It is a wise woman
yes.
to settle down,
yes.
to schedule together,
yes.
to think together, and make God part of your agenda. And God, should I do this today or that today? So that when someone comes to you, you don't just, oh, yes, I can do this, I can do that, I can do the other. Nothing is worse than overloading your schedule.
Mm.
You are running around like a chicken with your head cut off, trying to keep your word, because I was always a person who prided myself on keeping my word. But at the end of the day, I was angry, I was upset, I was stressed, and I found out that in my family, my mother was an overachiever. When she got very, very tired or overworked, she got sick. Unfortunately, I She passed that mantle on to myself, my sister, and my daughter. Oh, my daughter, I said, oh, the buck stops here. And I began to tell her, come down off of that. You have a husband, a family, yourself, and a job. You owe some quiet time with God. He's the one that made you. He cannot use you if you're overloaded. That's why he said, cast your burden upon the Lord and leave it there.
Yeah.
And then you're free and you're clear to help someone else. But even with that, it's a question. Because you are a part. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart.
Every aspect.
Yeah. The natural, the financial, the praying, the every hat that you wear, give that hat to God first and say, Lord, do I put that hat on today or not? Well, I may call people and say, well, not today, sweetheart. I'll get back to you. Sometimes you don't get back to them.
Yeah.
Sometimes people tell you, oh, I'll get back to you. If they don't, you know, that means no. If I never did before, I would go, oh, I'll get back to you at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, go back today. And then when I couldn't or I was frustrated trying to do it, it put me in a different place.
Uh-huh.
It made me vulnerable to Satan. I cannot afford to give him one inch.
Amen.
Therefore, I reposition myself by the way I think, the way I act, the way I treat myself, and that teaches how to treat you. Then with my, I heard my daughter tell somebody, oh, no, I can't call my mother because she's a bitch like me in Japan. She might be on a train going somewhere. I just can't call my mother like that. I have to check her. I said, well, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. That's right. Thank you so much.
God.
Hallelujah.
I said, Lord, I cannot stretch myself all these places. And there's things that I want to do on this end. And since I'm retired, I was a workaholic. And I said, Lord, I want to do the things that I want to do, but I'm still going to consider you. I want to make sure.
Amen.
You're pleasing to you first.
Amen.
And my main goal is to win souls at every platform that you allow me to go.
Yes.
When I'm getting my nails done, I take the wristband, I talk about the Lord. When I come into any place, stores, different places, people greet me, hi, Miss Kitty, how you doing? That's because I hate to say run my mouth, but I've always left a seed on purpose to let them know what type of woman I am.
Yes.
And I encourage them. I find that there are younger women in front of me.
Amen.
The Bible said the older women should teach the younger women.
Yeah.
So I said, Lord, I thank you that I take on those responsibilities willingly because the Lord has already grounded me.
Amen. We have 5 more minutes.
Every arena that I go, and it gives me joy, gives me pleasure.
Yeah.
I help my Father's business.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I've done a little bit too much, you know, God will give me a check in my spirit.
Praise God.
I remember the one time he said, you're not going to church today. I go, who said that? I was dressed up, getting ready to go out the door. He says, you ministered all day yesterday. You need to rest. He said, you go back to bed. I'll see you at 12 o'clock.
Praise God.
He said, I was refreshed even with the Lord.
Praise God. We have 5 more minutes.
Inside of me, I was just grateful.
Praise God.
I was listening because he is worthy of all of us.
Hallelujah.
The gift that he's given us, he wants us to use it completely for him.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Hallelujah. Pull up the ribs, Pastor Maxine.
You could have let her go to eat it on.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness. You always look so many good nuggets, Mother. You always have a good nugget.
Amen. I was listening to both of y'all, and it was very good. And you know, you was hitting a lot of points of what us women do, amen, and how we do it, and the reason why that women do the way they do is because of their background and how they were taught and what they for their parents do. Okay. And I know I can take it for myself. I'm a person that I like to, whatever agenda that I have for that day, I like to finish that agenda, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I am physically tired and everything, and I'll say to my father, I said, I need to get this done. But sometimes you don't always need to get things done.
the scripture in 1 Corinthians 9 where it says in God's word that we are to exercise and have to exercise self-control,
yes,
by disciplining our body, okay? And that's in 1 Corinthians 9:25-27. I'm going to read it, but I'm not reading it from the King James Version. I'm reading it from the Contemporary Bible, where it says, the 25th, read up to the 24th verse. It says, you know that many runners enter a race, and only one of them wins the prize.
Mm.
So run to win.
Uh-huh.
Athletes work hard to what? To win a crown that cannot last. But we do it for a crown that will last forever. I don't run without a goal, and I don't box by beating my fist in the air. I keep my body under control,
yes,
and make it my slave. So I win, for I won't lose out after telling the good news to others. We have to remember that our goal is to promote the good news.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So in order to promote the good news, you have to have, I say, a schedule, okay? God had a schedule. In 6 days, he created the heaven and earth.
Amen.
But on the seventh day, he rested. Mm-hmm. He took time to rest his spiritual mind. Amen. His spiritual body. Amen.
Yes.
And what he did, he showed us that we as his creation, as his human, we need to take time to rest.
Yes.
If that's the time that you want to go and have lunch with your husband, or to go to a boat trip, or to go in the park, whatever it is, whatever time you designate, you are to go at that time and designate. So only time that you will miss out in your rest is when you don't keep your schedule.
Yes.
And I am the type of person, amen, praise God, I believe in keeping my schedule, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my schedule is I go in, I'm not too much in the kingdom. You know this, is my daughter. I'm not too much in going out to the park or going to the harbor or even taking rides. But I can go into my room,
mm-hmm,
and I can get me a bowl of ice cream or some potato chips and just look at a quick movie,
yes,
and just relax myself. And God said in his word that we are to be our physical body should be disciplined, okay? So all of us have to learn how to discipline ourselves, okay?
Yes.
Even with your children, just give you the stuff about her daughter and when the children, they sometimes, praise God, your hour of self-control can be disruptive.
Yes.
But you let them know that the only time you're going to be disruptive is for emergency.
Amen.
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 in control of the situation. And they know the power that God has invested in you.
Uh-huh.
And that's what God has invested in you.
No.
They might call you. Okay? I have a daughter that she has a passion that when something occurs that she needs a prayer for the children or for herself or even for her girlfriends and all.
Yes.
If it's an emergency, she will call me.
Right, right.
If it's not an emergency, she will wait until I call because she knows that I'm going to call and say, how was your day?
Right, right.
How was your children's day?
Uh-huh.
How was your friend's day? She knows. But if it's an emergency, she will call.
Sure.
But God tells us we are running a race, and that race is to win the prize.
Amen.
And that prize is to get the crown of glory, amen, on our heads, amen.
Thank you,
Jesus. Let's look at 1 Timothy, if I could turn to 1 Timothy, amen. Excuse me, amen, praise God, for the hoarseness of my voice. Praise God.
You won't lie. That's good.
First Timothy 4:8. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says thank you, Jesus. 4:8. It says, as thy saying goes, exercise is good. And we as women, you know, we have a fashion that we don't, I know myself. Earlier in my age, I exercised, I ran, I did some exercise. But as I got older, I didn't exercise. It seemed like my body was, you know, saying you're tired, but you were tired because you didn't do exercise. Exercise is good for your body.
Yes, yes.
But religion helps you in every way.
Thank you so much, ladies. It was good. This is how we need to revisit. Hallelujah. And I hope, thank you so much, Pastor Maxine Lee. And thank you so much, Elder Kiwi Stevenson. And I'm trusting that the women of God will take heed and will continue, will start, if they haven't started, taking care of themselves, or they'll do it even the more. And we band together even the more to help each other even the more so we can praise God and be around a little while longer. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, both of y'all. Thank you so much. And we're going to try and do, we're going to, Lord, we are going to do better with our bodies. We're going to do better. Hallelujah. Thank both of y'all so much. Hallelujah. And we believe that the word of God tonight was fell on good ground. Hallelujah. And it's going to bring forth some seed in the name of Jesus. Going to bring forth a harvest. Hallelujah. Thank you so much to the both of y'all, women of God. Hallelujah. See you next month, same time, same station. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Oh, Help us, Father.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.